DMT World presents The Rambling Rabbit, and I am its host, Happy KB. Hello, 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 friends. I know it's been a while since episode 3 came out, and I think I may have promised that I was going to try and get these out sooner, but you know, all I can say is life. Life gets in the way. And being human gets in the way. So here I am though. I'm sitting here on a Sunday morning and had my coffee already and kind of raring for the day, and I figured I'd sit down and I would talk into this microphone and say hey to everybody out there in the internet podcast world who does nothing but sit and listen to podcasts. I find that I do the exact same thing, so I totally understand. It's kind of a, I like to sit at work and I like to listen to all the different podcasts that are sitting in the internet world. It's quite fascinating. Who knew that there was so much to talk about? I mean, we knew there was so much to talk about because we obviously like to sit and talk about it, but anyways, okay, whatever. Move on. So welcome. It is the Rambling Rabbit, episode number 4. And, I would just like to say it's a beautiful day today. I hope wherever you're at, it is a beautiful day as well for you. So, first things first, if this is the first time you're tuning into this podcast, welcome. Hosted by DMT World. If you've not been to DMT World, we'd like to invite you to DMT World. It is a psychedelic community that is free to join. There is anywhere between 26,000 to 28,000 people who have signed up and registered and joined. It's not always that active, but it is a community that is chock full of lots of knowledge and lots of information that people like to spend their time on. It is not a fast-paced moving website or network like Facebook or Twitter or all of those. It's not constantly moving. That's the most beautiful thing about our community, is that it has this very lovely pace to it. I think part of it's because it doesn't play on, I think I've said this before somewhere, it doesn't play on the algorithms, it doesn't play on as much as other websites do. So, you know, people get on, people enjoy the music that's posted, people like to read the articles that are on there, people enjoy seeing all the different do-it-yourself projects that are always happening in the DMT world. So it's good. It's a good pace. It's a good vibe. If you've not been there, I invite you right now to join the website. You can get on that website at www.dmtworld.net. Come and check it out and see what it's about. Like I said, it is a free social network that you can join. And with that being said, it is... sometimes I forget what I'm going to actually say. So that was one of those little bobbles where I'm like, what was I going to say? Anyways, if you've not come to dmtworld.net and checked it out, please do. I invite you. Come and check us out. See what we're out. It's a lovely community. Everybody's really chill and super nice. And they know a lot. There's a lot of knowledge, like I said, encapsulated in this one website. So come and see us. Hey, I've got some great news. Technology, I can master it. I know I can. Sometimes it takes me a little bit as I'm getting older, and I guess my patience is wearing thin, or I'm not comprehending as well. I don't know what the affliction actually is, but sometimes it takes me a long time to figure things out. I'm also not a person that really likes to ask for help if I don't have to, just so you know. And I like to, you know, put myself to these challenges. Well, with that being said, I would like to take this time to let you know that the next episode of The Rambling Rabbit will be an interview. We will have a special guest on there to interview, and that special guest will be Spyro Tribe. Now, I don't think a lot of people really know who Spyro Tribe is in the current, with our current community, but Spyro Tribe has been with us and on the community from day one. He's not as active as he used to be, but he is still around, and he is the first person I'm going to interview because it kind of ties into the history of DMT World. He's actually the first person that I got to know, besides my partners. Spyro Tribe is the first person I actually connected with and communicate with on the daily. I mean, every day for 4 years. So I'm bringing him on to be my first guest on DMT World. The Rambling Rabbit, time for the interview. So I'm excited about that one. That'll be fun. And then I've got some other people lined up that are going to be on there as well. So we're going to have, so you just don't have to sit here and listen to me go blah, 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 blah. Because I'm finding, I think I might not be as entertaining as one might hoped I would be. Maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just how I see that in my brain. But I like to bring some other things. So I think I may have also convinced my daughter to sit and do some music with me. So hopefully we can get some music on here as well for you guys to listen to us sing, whether you want to or not. I don't care. We're going to do it anyways. So she's been working really hard on playing and learning some Grateful Dead songs for me. So I'm going to see if I can get her to sing with me. I think if she's not seen, I think she'll be perfectly fine. So those are some things that I'm working on. So I've got some interviews happening, some music I'm trying to put together. I do invite anybody else that has, I run the YouTube channel, and I'm always looking for other things. If there are things in people in the community that don't necessarily want to upload their own stuff into their own YouTube channel, if you send me a video or something that I can upload and you want us, then I can share it. I'd be happy to do that if somebody's got, you know, anything. You like a reading, or you're a musician and you want your music out there so people can hear it, you know, as long as it's within the, you know, DMT World's spectrum. I mean, yeah. The only things that I do ask that I don't get videos of is anything doing illegal activity, things that, like, I don't really want to put videos out there of people, no offense to anybody, but actually consuming any of the substances that we talk about in DMT World. So we don't want to do that. We want to, that'll bring strikes to the channel, and we won't do that. I'm really working on trying to build up our subscriber content too. Like, we need more people subscribing to us. So at this point in time, if you haven't, click the subscribe to the channel and click the like button. That helps get us out there even further. And that's one of the things we're working on, is trying to connect with the others that are out there. I know there's a fresh little community that's starting to build up. They've gotten brave like we did and are trying to branch out and trying to, like, do their own thing in the psychedelic community, which I firmly believe that there is enough room for everybody on the internet to do kind of the things that we're doing. So those are the people we want to help out. You know, we want to encourage them, and we want them to find their way and go forward too. So that's really exciting to see some other communities coming up that are starting to grow in the same areas that we are. So, and those are the people we want to contact. We want to be supporters of those people. We want to be the supporters of the people that are doing YouTube stuff and trying to, you know, get knowledge out there, help people out. I mean, that's what we're really doing here. We're sharing we're talking about things. We know on the horizon the direction that is the psychedelic community is going. And, you know, there's so many different micro communities within the big whole community of the psychedelic movement that we're seeing. And, you know, some of it's going to the therapy section. Some are going to just the self-healing administration. Some are going in the direction of, you know, education. Some are going in, I mean, there's so much. And then there's communities like ours where it's the, what I'd like to call our, you know, our psychonauts that have taken it into our own hands to experience and try to, you know, navigate in our own worlds, in our own minds, in our own beings of what we're doing here in the world. So, those are the people we want connected. I want to know more. I want to hear more. I want to pull in the people in the certain areas in the therapy world, because I think we all need to have a voice in this. Not everybody sees it in the same light. Like, some of us may not see, some of us might think that we're moving too quickly into the pharma area and the therapy and the medical and then utilizing our psychedelics that way, which, you know, we understand as people, as psychonauts, and administering to ourselves, you know, what kinds of things have helped us, what have helped us integrate us back into what we call our everyday life. But we utilize the psychedelics. We're microdosing. We're growing our own, cultivating. We're utilizing and doing sessions at certain particular times to help with things like rewiring the brain. I can remember when I first got into psychedelics, one of the things, after I got past the whole, I just want to trip and just, you know, get wild. I mean, I'm still kind of like that. I won't lie. but when I got to the point of realizing that when I would get in tough situations or I would get in high stress situations or whatever, we used to have a saying, my roommate and I used to have a saying that we needed a new vision. And that was usually when I knew that I needed to do some psychedelics. I needed a trip because I just needed the reset. I just needed, because when I, especially with LSD, when I am tripping, like I go mildly, sometimes mostly no. Like, I like to have a nice heavy trip because I like the way, you know, it's like climbing a mountain, or it's like going through a battle. Like, you go through this whole intense experience internally in your body and how you're being affected externally and internally, and how it all just combines in the head and everything that you go through, and the mind, the body, and the spirit. And it's like it's like going into a very intense battle. It's kind of like how I feel when I go to, like when I went to Woodstock 99, you know, we made it through, and it was like, yes, you come out the other side and you're different. There's something different. That's how a trip is for me. Speaking of trips, I don't know if some of our newer people have visited our trip section on our website, but if you haven't, you should. You should go and read some of the trip reports that are actually in the DMT World trip report section. I went in there the other day. I don't read a lot of trip reports. I don't read a lot of trip reports, especially if I'm utilizing a lot of psychedelics, just because I firmly believe that it adds to my trip. I often hear people talk about, oh, well, I saw this, so I saw that, and does anybody else see these types of things? And, you know, there's these whole conversations about the similarities of the stuff that we're seeing and why. If it's something that, are we actually all really seeing this, or is it something that has been implanted verbally through writings and all the other things that we talk about in the community, and if therefore, because it's in our mental, when we do trip, does it come out? I mean, I don't know, but I've never been a real big on reading trip reports. If I am planning on tripping, I stay away. I try to stay away from anything that I feel might influence my trip, especially if I'm tripping for a specific reason. If I'm looking for an answer, or if I'm needing a reset, or if I'm needing, if I'm doing a little soul searching or spirit searching, I try to stay away from anything that may influence that trip. That even music, I'm very careful at times. This is where set and setting, I think, really comes into play when we're tripping, is I'm very conscious of the music that I choose to listen to, and depending on whatever substance that I'm utilizing at that time too. But again, like I try not to absorb too much of the other experiences of people. Now, when I'm on a hiatus and I'm not been tripping and I'm pretty clear-headed for a while, I will go and read. In fact, that's one of the things that I've been doing lately. I haven't been tripping very often just because I've just got a lot of things I've been trying to work on and get together. And I need to have kind of a clear head about it, because it's some serious stuff for me going forward, and I want to do it right. And sometimes if I've been tripping too much, my brain's a little loosey-goosey and I don't always make the right decisions. So at this point in time, like I said, I haven't been tripping too much, if at all, for a while. Like, I think I've been mostly high, but that doesn't matter. I have spending some time in our trip report section, and there are some really great trip reports. There are some really great experiences that the people in this community have had and took the time to sit and put it down so they could share it and we could read it. So I highly recommend, if you have time, if you enjoy pre-reading other people's trip reports, especially, go and spend some time in that section of the website. It's really neat. There's some very good writers. We have some very good descriptive writers that are in our community too. So, with that being said, I would like to, let's talk about, so we have a merch store. Been trying to create some new content, some different content, get some stuff out there. But, you know, our standard, our logo is out there on all kinds of merchandise. If there is something that you're specifically looking for, like if you're wanting a sweatshirt or a tank top, or you want me to look and see if there's something else in there, there's a few other things we can put the design on. Just shoot me a message and I'll see if anything's available. Just trying to get some different stuff out there, get some different variety going. So if you haven't been to our merch store, DMT World merch store, you can go to dmt-world-2.creator-spring.com, and that'll take you right to our merchandise store. Or if you get on our website, you can also, there is a group there that I'm posting daily on of merchandise that we have, and they all have links that are in that as well. So you can visit that, get some merch. Merch helps support the website, helps us keep it maintained, keep it upgrading. Every little bit helps. With that being said, it is, this website is ran by volunteers. Nobody gets paid to do this job. It is truly a labor of love. I have some really good staff, and they do a wonderful job trying to keep the place going and moving and helping and advising and trying to keep out the other things that we don't need in there. I have people that are in our Discord that do the same thing. We have some wonderful people that utilize their time for free to sit and help maintain these things that we're doing with this website. With that being said, like, We have some updates that have come up that we need to do eventually. And the way that we get the updates and we keep the lights on the community is through donations. And so if you are a new member and you are not a donor, you absolutely have the ability to help support the community in just donating a little bit. We have our Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/DMTworld. We have two membership levels. We have a merchant member, which is $5 a month. With that, you are able to sell your legal products in our marketplace. Not illegal. Legal. Anything legal. You make some really cool stuff. You got some stuff that you want to... You make jewelry. You do tie-dyes. You... Anything that is illegal that you want to sell it, this allows you to do that. Gives you that access. Our most popular tier is the Psychonaut tier, and this tier is $8 a month. With this, you are able to create groups, you are able to be a merchant, you then have access to our Psychonaut channels in our Discord server, and if you become a Psychonaut donor, you also, in the mail, receive some stickers and this really cool necklace that we have that has our symbol on it. So every little bit helps. There is on our Patreon, if you don't want to be a monthly donor and you want to just donate something, that is a capability that is in our Patreon as well. So everything helps. Every little bit helps. We are very grateful for the people that do donate to our site. It's wonderful. They have helped. That helps us, like I said, getting our updates going. It helps just keeping the website running. So none of this stuff is free, guys. Somebody pays for it somewhere, and it's great that we have a community of people who really believe and see the vision and support this. So I thank you. My hat goes off to you. I appreciate everything you do. With that being said, I do have a Patreon giveaway that will be coming up in the next couple months. I got some things got gathered together that were donated by some wonderful people in our community. And if you are a Patreon donor, you will be eligible to be in this giveaway. If you are not a Patreon donor, you will not be able to participate. How you become a Patreon donor is you go to our Patreon and you donate to our DMT site that way. Again, the website for that is www.patreon.com/DMTworld. That will get you right there. If you struggle with that, go to our website. You can also get there through our website as well. So, all right, next thing. Oh, this one I want to keep reminding everybody I'm still doing this too. With the Patreon donor, you do, like I said, you do get some stickers and you get a necklace. If you're not able to do that, but you... That's fine. I have another way that you can help out in our community. I'm doing a sticker campaign. If you've been listening to the... podcast before, you know that I have some of our logo stickers. That what my idea is, I want to be able to show. I'm doing this project where I'm going to accumulate all these pictures so I can show how far DMT World reaches around the world. We have people from all over the place, and I want to be able to actually do a physical visual project that will allow us to see that. And so how do we do that? You contact me. You can contact me through my email at kb@dmtworld.net, or you can on Discord. You can get a hold of me on Discord, and it's Happy KB, and just shoot me a message letting me know that you want stickers. I do need an address. I'll send you some stickers. I just ask that. And I'll send you more than one. You can keep one, and then the rest, if you would go wherever you're at, stick them around, take a picture, and send it to me, and let me know where you put it at. That way I can add it to the project that I'm working on. So get a hold of me. I'd be happy to get those out to you. So, all right, well, at this point in time, I am to KB's Corner, and we're going to continue the rabbit tales. with the rabbit tails. And we're going to continue with Woodstock 99. So I just really thought about this. And this is just a really hard story to tell you about Woodstock 99. I wanted to go chronologically, but I don't think I can do that. It's been a long time since I've told this story anyways. I used to tell it a lot, especially when it was fresher in my mind. I'll do my best to keep on the flow. You're probably going to get this in sections, so but I'll do my best to remember. I was trying to think where I left off. I know I talked about George Clinton and my friend getting hit in the head with the flying frisbees in the air, and that's us having to take her back to taking her back to the tent. So you know, there's a lot that went on, and like I said, it's really hard for me to put it in chronological order. It's kind of like because of Woodstock 99, I have a hard time using a porta potty. I've used a porta potty 3 times since Woodstock 99. Only 3 times. And it was only because, well, I had to. I was at a concert for one of them, and there I could not get inside to the inside bathroom, and I needed to go. So I went in that one. That wasn't too bad. Because it was at Crossroads in Kansas, and they keep their stuff very clean, and I was okay. I survived. The other 2 times was we went to a Burnfest interviews, and we camped, and we could have used the other toilets, but it was quite a far walk from where we were camping, and I had my daughter with me, so like, I sucked it up, and I went and used the porta potty, and you know, I did not die. It was not terrible. It was a pretty good experience. So I'm guessing that's why I did it twice when I was there. But I have a terrible aversion to porta potties since Woodstock 99. The day we got there and we were like bringing stuff in, we had took stuff in, set up the tent, trying to get things situated. We walked back out, I believe, just to check the vehicle, make sure it was locked, make sure we knew where it was at. And as we were walking back in, it was just crazy. I can remember looking around and like just watching the people trudging in, just walking in and how the stuff in their hands, getting through the checkpoints and everything. Oh, it was massive. But as we were walking, we were sitting there and I could hear drums, like hand drums. And then I could hear this ting. That's all I could, it was tanks. You could hear tanks hitting, like being laid down, being set down. And I remember looking at my roommate and I'm like, I want to do some nitrous. And he's like, yeah, let's do some nitrous. So we walk over to this campsite, and there's the most beautiful rainbow teepee. Like, there was this beautiful teepee and it had a rainbow over it, and I remember looking at it, and I remember asking the guys, you know, if I could take a picture of it, and I asked them if I could go inside of it and look, and they were like, they were chill, they were like, yeah, go ahead. And they were telling me that this was a teepee that had been to Woodstock 99. It was at 94. It had gone to many rainbow gatherings, and it was their, they had gotten it, and it was their turn to bring it to Woodstock 99. And it was really cool. And parked next to it was this short bus, and there was this guy that was asleep on the top of the bus, and the other guy that we had, I don't know if we actually woke him up or not, but my roommate had asked about the tanks and asked if he could get any, and he was like, sure. And so they're figuring out prices and stuff, and the guy pulls out, it's not these little balloons, he pulls out these, like, the big, what are they called? the big ones that you can sit and bounce back and forth, the punch balloons, it was huge. He fills these up and he's like, enjoy. And so we're like, okay. And punch bag balloons, is that what they're called? I don't even know what they're called, but they're the big balloons that have the rubber band on it, and you hold on to it, and you can sit, and you can bounce it back and forth. It was huge. We're walking, and we're taking hits off these balloons, and everything is, like, slowing down, and it's in that just the wah-wah mode, and the sound, the auditory is just all distorted, and it was so wild to, like, just sit there and walk through all this. And then I remember it kind of subduing, and I remember looking at my roommate, and I'm like, dude, I have to go to the bathroom. And we just so happened to be standing right next to the porta-potties. And mind you, this is not even the first day. This is like the day before. And so I'm like, okay, I'll go and do this. So I go into the porta-potty, and it was disgusting. Like, we haven't even started the festival, and the porta-potty's bad. And I thought, oh, God. So I go in. I don't know why I still have the balloon in my hand, but I do. I have the balloon on me. And my roommate had gotten smart, and he was like, here, we had these, the wet wipes, they were like a wet wipe, but these ones were lemon scented. And he's like, just shove them up underneath your glasses, and they'll sit over your nose, and so that it will barrier the smell, which it worked. By the way, it worked. I also pulled them out and, like, wiped everything down, and so I'm sitting there, and I'm doing my business and doing my thing, and I get up, and I pull my pants up and do all that stuff, and for some stupid reason, I thought it was smart to take a hit off this balloon. So I take a big old hit off this balloon, and I'm just like, all of a sudden, like, the inside of this porta potty changed, and I looked up at my hand, and it was all red, and I could see, like, what I thought were bones and veins. I'm not sure that's what I saw, but then I, like, stepped over, and I fell into the wall and kind of slid down, and my leg, the bottom, like, the side of my calf, just in this whatever, this goo was at the bottom of this porta potty. It was so disgusting. So as I'm walking out, I'm sitting there, and I'm, like, wiping my leg off, and I look up, and my roommate's just standing there, and he's all fished out, and it's just like, okay. And so I walk over to him, and he's like, all right. And I'm like, that was the worst experience I've ever had. And he's like, okay. And so we kill our balloons and we walk in. So because of that and the decisions I made in that porta potty, I have a hard time using porta potties. But that was the first day. I don't think I went to the bathroom the next 2 days because the porta potties had flooded. Like, the people at Woodstock 99, they broke all any capacity of, like, our water functioning. They used to have these water holes when you walked in. Okay, it was like a big, like, one of the horse tanks, like, the water tanks. So, like, the big, that, and there, in the middle of it were these faucets. And they had in these faucets, they were nice. They were nice. They had these basins that went around them, I wish I would have taken a picture when I first saw them, because I'm like, that is great. That is genius. That's what I thought in my mind. I didn't realize that the lunatics that decided that they wanted to tear it apart and break it down for whatever reason, I'm not even sure, would do that and, like, destroyed it. Like, it was nuts. But they tried, and because they broke all these pipes and all this stuff, and it caused the mud at Woodstock 99, which was not from rain, it was from the broken water pipes and the porta potties. Like, I can remember at one point in time looking over, and there were tents, like, floating in this water. In this liquid. And they were over by the porta potties, so you know there was, like, feces and stuff in it, too. It was pretty nasty. But, breaking up all the ways to drink water. And then that makes me laugh, because then, like, people want to bitch and want to be like, oh, yeah, well, they were selling water for water bottles for $4, which they were. That's legit. But we had free water. no matter what anybody says, there was free water. There was ability to drink water out of the watering holes. But because the people decided it was more fun to tear it apart and cause that destruction, it did. It kind of limited us on, you know, staying hydrated. And that was pretty crappy of people. But so, yeah. But the first day they worked fine because we filled up many, many water bottles at that watering hole until they beat the crap out of it. But they beat the crap out of everything. The first night there was a rave, and I can remember us walking around, and there were these big, huge drum circles happening, but I couldn't figure out. Nobody had drums. Well, so what were they using? Well, these people had decided that they're going to take these big metal trash cans, and that's what they were going to use as the drum circles, which it produced this really great sound. Like, I don't know if you've ever sat and beat on a metal drum before, or a barrel, and you get this boom, boom. It was so cool. And it was very tribalistic. I can remember walking. Of course, I'm tripped out of my mind, too, at this point in time. You can remember most of these stories, I was completely, completely just blitzed. I just remember walking around and hearing this booming, booming. And I remember looking around. We're looking at my roommate, and he's like, "It's over there." And I'm like, "What are they beating on?" And he's like, "They're trash cans." They had beat on these trash cans all night that, like, they mangled. They mangled these trash cans. It was so crazy. It was crazy. So that was crazy. Also, what was crazy was walking around, and I'm tripped out of my mind, and I'm walking on all these plastic water bottles, and I can't figure out why I am walking on these plastic water bottles. And my roommate had to finally tell me it's because the beer that was being sold, which was Bud Light, I believe, Budweiser and Bud Light, that they were selling the beer in plastic bottles, and the plastic bottles were not making it in trash cans. Well, they couldn't, because trash cans were now beat to a pulp, so there was nowhere to throw away the trash except on the ground. I did walk up to one guy that was sitting there eating a hot dog, and according to my roommate, and he opened a package of mustard or ketchup, I can't remember what, and put it on his hot dog, and then he dropped the packet, the condiment packet, and then did the same with the other one and dropped it. And I walked up to this guy, and I made him pick up those packets, and I made him go throw them away. I was tripped out of my mind. I barely remember that. But yeah, that was a thing. It was really kind of crazy to me. You know, at the point in time, it's like we're all chemmed out on LSD. So it's like, did things make sense? No, but things don't normally make sense until after my trip's over. So, all right. So the night before when we got there, and after we did all the, you know, after the George Clinton incident and all that stuff, my roommate and I went walking around, and we went to the both of the stages, and got to see them up close and personal before the massive amount of people and before people were performing on it, which was really, really cool. I kicked myself. I think I have pictures somewhere, but like, it's been so long, and I know I have rolls. I still have rolls of film, you guys, of pictures from Woodstock 99 that I've never developed. I also have a roll of film of just clouds. Yeah, just clouds. Clouds at Woodstock 99. Why? Well, at one point in time, we were walking, and I felt like I was in the middle of a football field. It felt like a football field or a big arena field or something. And I remember walking out. I remember laying down on the grass. And I remember I was mesmerized. At this point in time, God was talking to me the whole way, telling me that I would be fine, that my parents would understand that I was doing drugs, that I was on the path that I was supposed to be, not to worry about things. Everything was going to work out. I mean, the whole time, God's sitting there, that's what I think, and talking to me. And I'm laying there, and I'm listening to every bit of it. And I remember watching these clouds, and they were so magnificent looking. They were just these amazing shapes and the things that I was seeing. And I remember I grabbed my camera, and I'm laying there on the ground in the grass, and I'm taking all these pictures, and I am so into this, what I'm seeing, and I know I'm just capturing this most magnificent sights with this camera because I'm seeing all this amazing stuff in these clouds. Those cloud pictures don't look anything like I remember them when I was tripping on acid, to be honest. They're all just clouds. They were beautiful in the moment, though. But I go look at them now. They're just clouds. Yeah, so, you know, and we didn't have cell phones. This was before cell phones. So, like, we take just quick snapshots of everything. Well, it's not that easy. We didn't have that instant, we didn't have the digital. We didn't have that instant. Like, you took pictures and you had to hope that they came out. You had to hope what you were seeing at that point in time translated on that film. Didn't always do that. What is comforting, I'm part of this Facebook group, that's Woodstock 99, and what is comforting in that group is going and looking at everybody's pictures and being like, at least your pictures look exactly like mine. Like the quality, like what was there, like for so long. I only had one other person I could talk to about Woodstock 99, and it was my roommate. He was the only one there. Nobody else understood. Nobody else. And so, you know, sometimes you start questioning yourself. Was I there? Did the stuff that I think happened really happen? Like, and it was really cool to stumble across that Facebook group because it validates so much, so much. So the day of the beginning of the actual festival, we had gotten up, you know, we spent the night rolling and doing whatever, but we actually got some sleep, excuse me. And then we got up and got ready, and we're standing there. And it's like, okay, what do we do? Well, there were two stages. And my roommate's like, well, let's just jump in this line. There's a line of people. And when I say line, I don't mean like single file line. I mean like herded line, herding like cattle. That's what it felt like at one point in time. Like we were cattle being herded down this, because where the tent area was, there were dirt roads that they had cleared off. And so, like, there's 250,000 people at Woodstock 99, okay? So, like, half these people are over where we're at. So, like, they're all filing onto this, and they're just walking. And I think the funniest part about it is, like, you could see the ripple. Like, we're standing there, and we're not going anywhere, and it's hotter than hell outside. I mean, you didn't want to move. I mean, you wanted to move because you wanted that breeze, but, like, it was hot, and there were just people everywhere. And I'm short, okay? So I'm short, and I'm breathing in everybody's body odor air, and it's just, like, you want it to go. Well, it would be funny because you'd see, like, the front of the whatever you would call the front of the line, like, would kind of move and shift, and then you'd see the ripple happen, and it'd get to you, and it'd be like, oh, we moved. And it just crept along, and it was, like I said, it was hot. It was hot, and it was miserable. And I got smart. I brought my water bottle with us. So while we're standing there, I have water in my spray bottle. And so I kind of spray it on my roommate, and he's like, ah. And I spray it at my friend Gina, and she's like, ah. And then I kind of spray a little bit up, and I'm like, oh, that felt good. And then I got smart. I got wise. And I'm like, well, if I spray this in front of me, kind of up, where it's going to be out in front and kind of fall back on us, and we walk into it. Oh my gosh, I was a genius. It was so great. Spray it, walk into it. It was wonderful. And then this lady behind me is like, oh my God, what was that? Like, flipped the out. And it's just water. And one lady's like, how do we know it's not like maybe you put something in there? Like maybe there's acid in there or something. And I'm just, it was like, first of all, I wouldn't share my acid with you like that. And second of all, it's hot out here. Why would I be spraying acid on people? I want to cool people down. Like, I cool down. And so they got a little uppity, but it was fine, because then the people in front of us were like, would you spray us, please? And we're like, sure. So I'd spray, and somebody else would run up and be like, can you spray us? And we'd spray them, and sometimes I'd spray people, and they'd give us drugs, and we'd take those drugs. And, like, there was one point in time, like, these people ran up to us, and the guy's like, if you give us a, will you spray us down? It was hot. Like, when I'm saying it's hot, you guys don't understand, it was hot. It was so flippin' hot. And people are just dying. And they're like, can you just spray us down, please? Can you spray us down? And so, like, I'm sure, yeah. And so I spray. And the guy looks at me and he goes, if you spray us down one more time, I'll give you some acid. And so we're like, sure, spray. And so he gives us a couple hits of acid. And so we take him. And we'd also taken some ecstasy at this point in time, or a little bit before that, too. So I have my binky on me because we'd been raving quite a bit before we went to Woodstock 99. And so I had my favorite binky. And so we're walking, and I'm spraying people, and we're starting to roll. We're rolling, and we're starting to trip. And this other guy runs up, and he's like, hey. And Bill's like, I got some acid. Do you want it? And Bill's like, sure, how much? And so they work out a price, and I, like, spray the guy. And he was like, if you do that again, I'll give you this tin strip for that price. And so, sure enough, so my roommate then tears the tin strip in half and, like, shoves five in mine and takes five. And we just keep moving along. And the next thing I know, he's, like, talking to me. And he's like, yeah, that five strip we took. And I'm like, we took a five strip? When did we do that? And he's just kind of looks at me. Well, finally, we get out of this herd of people. And it's like, yes, we finally make it over to one of the main stages. And there's nobody over there yet because it really hasn't started. And so we're sitting there, and there's people sitting. They used to call me at raves Florence Nightingale because, like, I came prepared. Like, I had extra water bottles. I had towels that I would get. I would dampen down and put on the back of people's necks that were rolling too hard on the floor just to kind of get their synapses back to them. You know, always had weed, always had things that we needed. And so we're walking around Woodstock 99, just kind of waiting for things to really kick off and start. And there's these poor guys. Oh my gosh, these people. I don't know what these people were thinking. I don't think they were thinking. But, like, we saw so many people, dudes especially, walking around without their shirts on, and they are white as white can be. Like, ghost. Like, their skin is going to be so crispy the next day. Like, I felt so bad for them. And, like, we would walk up to people, and I'd ask them if I could spray them down with water to cool them down. And then we'd present sunscreen and ask them if they'd want sunscreen. That's what me and my roommate did for a little bit there. And next thing I know, you know, I'm just going around spraying people down with this water bottle while I'm just chewing away on my binky, just doing my thing, just blitzed out of my mind. And people are kind of starting to follow us and running up to us, wanted to be sprayed down. So I'd spray people down, and all of a sudden I was out of water. And I look at my roommate, and he's like, what? And I'm like, I have no more water. He's like, well, we've got some water. We got some. So we pull them out of the back. We fill it back up. And here I go. I'm going around spraying people. And people are running up to me. And they're like, spray me. And so we're spraying. And next thing I know, this lady walks up to me with a microphone. And she's like, hi, I'm with News Station whatever out of somewhere in New York. And she's like, and I and my roommate standing there. And she's like, so, like, Why are you here at Woodstock 99? And I don't know really what I said at that point in time. And then she's like, I just have one question for you. Why the binky? And so I'm sitting there, and I look at this lady, and I say, well, because sometimes kids get lockjaw. And the gal just, like, looks at me. And she turns into my roommate, and she starts talking to him. And the guy goes, the camera guy comes up to me. He goes, will you do me a favor? And I'm like, what? And he's like, just spray your water bottle into my lens. And so I spray it, and then I take off. And so I guess they had this whole interview with Bill, my roommate, about me, the Binky Water Girl, on patrol. And that's what they titled that. And I still haven't found that news footage, but it's somewhere. And so Bill had to run off and catch me, and I'm just going along and around people, and I'm just, and I always asked everybody. I never just sprayed somebody. I always asked them. And I'm just gone out of my mind. And just spraying people down. And I'd run out of water and I'd look at Bill and Bill would have water and we'd fill up the water bottle and I'd keep going. Well, the thing that started happening was we'd run out of water. And the next thing I know, people that were around us that I had sprayed down were handing us water bottles. We, at one point in time, had people running to the watering holes to fill up water bottles to bring back to us so I could keep watering people with my spray bottle. And so, unbeknownst to me, because I was preoccupied, obviously, running around with a squirt bottle, spraying people down, tripped out of my mind, the crowd kind of got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, I found myself up at the front of the stage. Well, nothing had started yet, but on the stage, standing in a line, were these big guys all in these yellow shirts, and the shirts, they were the Peace Patrol. So, in KB fashion, I go up and I ask each Peace Patrol officer if I can spray them down, because since it's so hot. And so, they all would let me. And so, I'd spray, and people were cheering, and people were, yay, I want to spray them down, and they were all so nice, and people giving me water bottles, them giving me water bottles, and I'm spraying people down, and people are running up to me, and people are just, they were super nice. I got blessed by a lot of people. I got just all kinds of, it was really interesting, and I get down to the last guy at the end of this stage, and he's this big guy, big, huge guy. And he's standing with his arms crossed. And, you know, they've seen this whole thing. Like, there's this little following of this little water patrol girl, pinky water patrol girl, just spraying people down. And I look at the guy and I ask him if I can spray him with water. And he's like, nope. And the crowd behind me is like, oh, man, don't be like that. Da, da, da. She just wants to be nice. And I'm like, are you sure? Can I please spray you down? And he's like, nope. And the crowd behind me is like, no, boo! Oh. And I ask again. I says, last time I'm going to ask, can I spray you down? And the guy looks at me, and he gets real close to me, down next, and he's like, nope. And I'm like, okay. And I turn around, and of course the crowd's like, oh, ah. Well, when I turn around, unbeknownst to me, the guy had a water cooler behind him, picks up the water cooler, and dumps it on me. And the whole crowd just lost their minds. It was so funny. And so I'm soaking wet, and so I gather all my things, and I get my stuff, and I start walking. And all of a sudden, I hear somebody on the stage. And I remember my roommate saying, oh, it's Andy Dick. And I thought, Andy Dick? Okay, first of all, I don't like Andy Dick. Not a big fan. Sorry, if you ever hear this, I'm not a big fan. My experience at Woodstock 99 with you, not a big fan. Because as I'm standing there walking through, spraying people down with water, I can hear Andy Dick on stage singing a song called Little Brown Ring. I don't remember the rest of this song. I just remember that. And I remember that the song itself was kind of repugnant and repulsive. And it was not fun. I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't enjoying the song. And then all of a sudden, I hear him talking about the girl in the crowd that is running around spraying people down with water. And he's making fun of me. Now, I can't honestly tell you if this actually happened or not. This could be my trip. But that's what was happening, and I was just miserable. So finally, I found my roommate. We go over to next to the... Andy Dick is done. Like, he's off the stage. And I'm standing over next to my roommate, and over by this cute little adorable couple. Kind of like, they were like, you can come on over here. Had spread out their blanket. The guy's like, so, do you have a pipe? And I'm like, yeah, sure. And he's like, okay. And so I pull out my Marvin the Martian pipe I have, and it's glass. And I hand it to the guy, and he had this look on his face, and he's like, oh, well, that's not going to work. And I was like, why not? And he's like, because the hash is just going to fall right through it. And I'm like, oh, well, hang on. So I reach my bag. We had bought some white rhino while we were there. Oh, so beautiful. It was gorgeous. It smelled good. It felt good. Everything about it was beautiful. So I pulled off some of that, put it in this bowl to plug up that hole so the hash wouldn't fall through the hole. And we put the hash on top of that weed. And the next thing I know, I'm hitting the bowl and everything around me starts to melt. And all of a sudden, I hear music cue up. And I hear the beginning of the crowd going, yeah! And all of a sudden I hear the beginning of the song, Sister Christian. Sister Christian, da, 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 da. And I'm standing there, okay? My roommate's next to me, and I just hit this big old fat bowl of White Rona with some hash on it. Everything's all melty, and I kind of drop to my knees, and like there's an opening around where we're at, and this cute little couple are just standing right there next to me, and I'm kind of knelt down, and my roommate walks over, and I look up at the big Jumbotron screen. And as the words are saying, Sister Christian, there I am. I'm right up there on that Jumbotron screen. I'm staring at myself as the song is going on. And I'm just in awe. And I remember my roommate putting his hand on my shoulder. And I remember tears just streaming down my face. And I remember him saying, are you okay, KB? And I said, please, please don't ruin this moment. And I just sat there. And then the next thing I know, people come rushing over to me, asking me if I would take my water bottle and I would spray them down. So I thanked the people, the cute little couple that let us smoke their hash, sprayed them down. They gave my roommate something and we started walking off. And we decided that we were going to find my friend Gina. Gina, who'd bought a tie-dye the night before that started with a yellow round spot on her left boob and it like tie-dyed out. And so as we're walking around, I'm asking everybody in the world, have you seen my friend? I'm looking for my friend Gina. She's got a tie-dye on with them. She's got a big yellow boob. Have you seen her? And she's got Coolio braids in her hair. And people just kind of looked at me, but... So we watered people down for a long time, and people just kept running to us with water bottles and filling water bottles up, and it was just a phenomenon because people would walk up to me and they were like, you're the water girl. Like, that was my name. At one point in time, we found my friend Gina and we're walking, and people were walking up to me and they're like, oh, hey, it's the water girl. She's the one that, she sprayed us down. Well, the crazy thing that happened after that, like the next day, people had water spray bottles with them everywhere they went, hooked in their belts, and they're around spraying each other. It was so crazy. I'm sure maybe I'm not the only person who had this idea to do this, but I'll tell you, that whole moment of like people wanting to be sprayed and wanting, and all the blessings, like how many times has somebody blessed me while I was at Woodstock? Like, I don't know, when you're in that trip moment and you are in it and somebody blesses you, like that's powerful. That was powerful. That was very powerful. And during that whole time, I had God in my ear talking to me, telling me everything was okay, that I was doing good, that I was all right. So we made it to the other side of the stage. Or to the other stage, because there were, like I said, two stages, and there's quite a bit of distance between the two. By that time, I wasn't too hip into who was performing, I guess, over there. We were getting tired. My roommate and I were walking, and Jamiroquai was playing. Oh, we could hear him. We could hear Jamiroquai. And so we're going, and we'll walk over there, and we're like, okay. And I said, I want to go up and I want to go dance. And my roommate Bill's like, KB, no, why won't, don't you? Next thing I know, I strip off my backpack and I give it to him. And I'm like, I'll be right back. Because in my mind, at that moment, I was going to find Bill. Because Bill had on a tie-dye. So I run off. Because I'm going to find him. and I'm dancing, and then next thing I know is I turn around, and I look, and there is a sea of tie-dye standing there. And I thought, oh, shit, I'm never going to find Bill. And so I went and sat down at Jamiroquai. And that's when I lost Bill at Jamiroquai. Because I ran off, which is typical for me. So prior to this, let me tell you, I was deadbound and determined that we were going to find some mud somewhere because we needed to cool down. Well, we found mud on accident. We were walking and we see people throwing stuff. Like, it's hard to explain. Like, you're walking and all of a sudden you just see, like, it looks like mud. They were just throwing mud, but it wasn't just like one or two. It's like thousands of mud clumps are flying at each other because there are people who are standing on one side and on the other side of this mud puddle, and they're sitting there throwing mud. So what do I do? Oh, geez. I go walk out there in the middle of it, and I'm standing there with my arms up, and I have Bill take a picture. And so he takes a picture, and then the next thing I know is some dude runs up behind me, grabs me from behind, and goes and slams me in this muddy water puddle. And so I've got mud from my head to my toe. I'm coated, which probably saved me a little bit, being covered in all that mud from the sun. But boy, howdy, he hit me hard too, like down. And so I had to walk around the rest of that day covered in mud. My glasses were covered in mud, like everything. Trying to clean that up was hard, too, because by this time, the watering holes were starting to get demolished and broken. So it was really hard to, like, try to get cleaned up. So, after we got to Jamiroquai, and Bill's nowhere to be found. I decided I was going to go try to find them. And so I walked around Woodstock 99 that first day, lost, completely tripped out of my mind for, I don't know, a good 3.5 hours. Walked around. I got interviewed by Rolling Stone. I remember at one point in time I'm just sitting. I was so exhausted. I just, my brain, I could not think. My brain was just melted, just mushed. And I'm sitting there trying to remember, like, my roommate had told me the night before, you need to remember the purple road and, or purple section and the name of this road. And there was a medic tent right on that road that I need to remember. And I remember sitting there and I'm like, I need to find where the tents are. I need to find the section. Because I remember purple flag. I remember the medic tent. And I vaguely remembered the name of the intersection, the road we were there, but I do remember there was an Italian flag that was three tents down from our tent. So I knew with these little bits and pieces of information in my tripped out brain, I can find them. And I was I was determined to find my people and my tent because I was not going to be the girl that got lost at Woodstock 99. At one point in time, I remember sitting on a fence. A wood fence. I'm just spent. I was tired. And I remember this guy walking up to me and he looked at me and he's like, may I take your picture? And I'm, yeah. He's like, I am going to title this, I Survived Woodstock. And I was like, okay. I did. I got interviewed by quite a few. Like, there were a couple of local radio stations that were out there. Like I said, I got interviewed by Rolling Stone, and I remember the person asking me, you know, what was it that brought you to Woodstock 99? Was it the music? Was it? And I'm like, it was the experience, man. And that's all I remember. And then I remember walking around, and I remember stumbling upon the showers. We had been told there were showers somewhere, but well, we hadn't seen them well before we got messed up, or blitzed out, and I remember I stumbled across the showers, and I was so happy. I was so happy, and I had to make it back, and I had to tell Bill I found the showers, and the only reason I was really, really happy, because I was caked in mud from head to toe still. So I keep walking, and I was determined, and I'm going to tell you what, I found a medic tent that had a blue, had a purple flag on the top of it. And I'd say it was probably about like 5 o'clock by the time I'd gotten there. Like when I realized where I was at, and I took a wild gambled guess, and I started walking. And the next thing, I found an Italian flag, and I went 3 tents down and over, and I come stumbling upon our tent area, and I'm just standing there, and I'm like, Gina, Bill. Sure enough, my friend Gina pokes her head out. She was rolling really, really hard on, I think it was the Rolex. She thinks she had got a hold of some Rolexes and was rolling, it was a triple stack. And well, she took one and she didn't think it was working. So she took another one and she was rolling so hard. She was like laid out in the tent. But as I pop up and I'm like, guys, Gina, Bill, she pops her head out. She's like, oh my God, KB. I thought I was never going to see you again. I was sure somebody was just going to take you home with them and we were never going to ever see you again. And my roommate unzips his tent and he's like, KB, you actually made it. And I'm like, I have great news, guys. I have such great news. I found the showers. And Bill was like, what? And so we decide that we were going to go to the all-night rave, so we needed to sleep. So by the time I got settled down and got in the tent and got relaxed and got to where I could start to go to sleep because it was super hot still, I remember laying there listening to Inner Sandman by Metallica. So I got to lay there and go to sleep listening to Metallica live at Woodstock 99. It was such a glorious moment. We'll continue the rest of Woodstock 99 at a later date, friends. Because we still have another day to go. And it only gets crazier from here. It's fun to sit here and like tell you guys the stories of Woodstock 99. Just because, like I said, there's only a couple other people that I can have the conversation with, and I've had that conversation with them a bazillion times. I even had to ask my roommate. I'm like, do I have this correct? Is this how this went? So I can tell you, tripped on some of the best acid that I've at Woodstock 99. I think the favorite that I tripped on was we had gotten a hold of South Park acid, and I took Kenny and my roommate took the chef one, and mind blown. I can't tell you what the 5-strip was. I really don't know. We weren't actually given that information. We did trip on some Stars and Stripes, which was amazing. Oh, that was so good. Such good acid. But yeah, we did some really, really good substances at Woodstock 99. Just some great people that we got to meet and some really kind people that shared. We did go to an all-night rave that night and got to experience some really, really clean, some really good ecstasy. I'll tell you what, I miss the ecstasy that we were consuming in the 90s. Nothing that I can do now holds a candle to it, and it just sucks. I don't know, so. But that is Woodstock 99, like I said. I will continue that story on my next Rambling Rabbit solo. The next episode, which will be episode 5, will be with Spyro Tribe. And that'll be fun because that'll be something different. Get to listen to some community people. If you are interested in talking to me and having an interview of any sort, you can reach out to me. You can either find me on Discord at HeavyKB. You can get on the website, www.dmtworld.net, and find me. My handle there is HappyKB as well. And you can also email me at KB@dmtworld.net. If you feel like you want to sit down and have a chat with me. One of the requirements is that you do have a Discord, because I do the audio recording in there in my private studio channel. So that is something that I do ask that you have until I don't know what I was going to say there, but I really think it's fun that I'm sitting down doing this. I am sorry that I don't put these out more regularly. That is something that I'm going to keep trying to strive for, but I do a lot in the community. Like, I just auditioned for another play, so sometimes that takes up some time. So, but I'm going to keep trying. Again, if you have any content that you would like us to put out, for you, I'm always looking for other stuff, other material. Like, we are a community. Let's be a community and let's get some of that stuff out there. I'm here to help you and support you as well. Let's see. Just to let you know, I don't know if you've seen it or not. I'm sure you have since you've been on the website, but there is a new project that I am working on, and it's a new show, and it is a video show of called KB's Caravan. And basically, we've been doing this for 4 years, friends. I think it's time for me to get out and come and see some of you, meet some of you, and video it. I think that would be fun. We're wanting to go to gatherings and music festivals and things like that as well, and doing episodes of us going there. But one of my main motives is to come and visit people that are in the community, because you guys have been here. You guys are a part of this. This is what we're doing here. I want to meet you in person. I want to say hello. I want to shake your hand. I want to meet you in person. So I do have a GoFundMe that is set up, that if you feel like you would like to help donate to my project here, it's under KB's Caravan on GoFundMe. There is a link that is on the website as well, that takes you right to it if that is something you feel you would like to help me out. I've had several very kind, generous people who have already helped and donated to it. So I thank you. Thank you very much. And everybody that is a part of our community, I'm very grateful. This community doesn't exist without you. You are the reason why we are here. You are the way that we power this, and you're the reason that, you know, DMT world exists. So I thank you. You're the reason that we do this podcast, because you all like to listen to whatever we all have to say, and I think that's wonderful. I can never express truly to any of you what DMT world is to me, but just know that I appreciate every single one of you that take your time to show up and be a part of it. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So until we meet again, I would like to tell you to keep ascending, friends. And this is Happy KB with the Rambling Rabbit. I'm out.